You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, boy, I see you bouncing all around the kitchen tonight with a look of determination, so I know we've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Well, there's been a lot of things to talk about ever since President Trump was elected. So for the last 3.5 years, we have just had nonstop conversations every day because it just... The news never ends. It hasn't been a break for the American people. It's like a punch after punch after punch, you know.
There's no sense of serenity,
no.
Right? There's no sense of, as we say, tranquilo.
No, and it's not President Trump's issue. He's done everything he can to move this country forward. It's the Democrats' issue because they have done everything to hold us back, to impeach President Trump.
To knock him off the track.
Exactly. And in doing so, they've knocked Americans off the track, too.
Boy, you know, Linda, I think that's a really salient point that you're making, because the way you and I see it is that the Democrats have completely forgotten the direction that this country is going, which has been very, very positive under the Trump administration, and they don't mind throwing the entire country under the bus because of their political hatred for our President of the United States.
No, you're right, and I have never seen in my lifetime the rhetoric that's coming out of the mouths of our politicians is despicable. It's such a horrible example for our youth, such a disruptive and discouraging rhetoric for all Americans.
Well, you know, and especially people of color, because, you know, we have the highest unemployment. Now we're in retrograde, right? But we've had, before COVID-19, we've had the highest level of employment in the history of the United States. We've had the highest levels of employment and opportunities for people of color. So the people that are being damaged by this, not to mention the damage, the shootings, the violence, primarily affecting people of color throughout the United States, the destruction of our businesses, the destruction of our cities, the disengagement, the distancing, the defunding, and the attempts to dissolve law enforcement nationally. And now, I mean, it's just like you said, it's just like one punch after another punch after another punch.
Right. And then you add to that the whole COVID-19, which just, you know, you and I were speaking this morning that it has changed people's lives in such a rapid fashion that none of us would have really ever expected that this all would happen to our lives in such a short time.
And including our lives, all right?
So, well, of course.
You know, successful businesses and the networking that we have, you know, in our different communities, you with the business community primarily, me with the criminal justice, law enforcement, and legal communities, everything has been turned completely upside down within a matter of months. So not only you and I, but all Americans have been forced to retool our lives, you know, to try to adapt, overcome, persevere. Everything has been torn asunder. And it's been so unfair and so unexpected. And I think the big thing is, I don't think anybody in the United States, including our President of the United States, would have ever figured in a million years that something like this would happen as a direct result of what the Chinese did.
No, and it's happened so quickly, and there are so many things that are just so sad about it. So I want to talk about some of those because, you know, this really affects every American in so many ways, and people worldwide as well. This week we had the death of Herman Cain, and I really, really loved Herman Cain. And I am pretty devastated that he passed from coronavirus. And it's just showing you, although he had some other, you know, things going on.
Well, he had serious stage 4
But it
I
was
think
in
cancer.
remission. Yeah, but it was in remission. But yes, he did have issues. But the thing is that there's no end in sight right now. IHME has predicted that by November 1st, we're going to be up to 230,000 deaths in this country. So it's just really terrifying. Yet Dr. Fauci predicts that we will have a vaccine by late fall or early winter. So that's great as far as, getting some sort of forward movement. The thing, Ron, is that this has stopped America. It's stopped businesses. It's stopped people from living their lives normally. We have more suicides. We have more drug overdoses right now because people are they're not working. They're not busy. Their minds are not busy. They are getting kind of desperate. And
kids aren't going to school.
Exactly.
They're doing homeschooling with parents that are not qualified or prepared to do homeschooling. It's just all around. It's affected every single segment of society. One of the things that really bothers me as a medical investigator is the politicization of COVID-19.
Exactly.
And it's a huge source of me personally of frustration because we've never seen the politicization of any virus or any disease in the history of the United States. We have had a lot of diseases during the history of the United States and internationally. Okay, Europe, everybody else, Asia, all sorts of different things. That's just something that happens to humanity, is that we're hit with viruses and sicknesses and diseases and plagues. And
there have been a number throughout history, many worse than COVID-19.
Of course, but we have never seen a disease being politicized. And that is, to me, so much more damaging than even the disease itself, because we are losing people in the United States unnecessarily, especially our senior citizens, because of the politics of this pandemic.
Well, I totally agree with you. And, I really have come to the conclusion, and it wasn't an easy conclusion. It wasn't something I thought originally. I tried to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but I can no longer do that. I absolutely believe that our Democrats, let's put it out there, our Democrats are allowing people to die by not giving them medications that will help them, and withholding medications that are tried and true, like hydroxychloroquine, in order for this chaos to continue up to the election so that Joe Biden can get elected. And that sounds like a far out there kind of, space cadet kind of theory. I don't think it is anymore, Ron.
No, I don't think it is. And the reason is because I see a plethora of board certified physicians, not only from the United States, but all around the world, that tout the benefits of hydroxychloroquine. And by the way, it does no significant harm to the body. Okay, so I mean, that's the thing.
Well, no, it's been safe for many, many, many years.
Exactly. But what they've done is, first of all, they put out a falsified study in Lancet, right? The British Journal of Medicine, one of the two preeminent journals of medical studies and research in the world. And that was, backstepped or backpedaled over that because that was not a valid study. But the media continues to put it out there. It's affected our government because of the politics of it. And they have diminished and even censored both valid research studies, which have been around, because hydroxychloroquine has been around for, 60 years or something?
At least, and used successfully. And even members of our own family that have been in the military have used it, and for all kinds of different things. They use it in the military.
Well, they use it as a prophylactic.
They use it
as a treatment. But
President Trump used it as a prophylactic, and he's just fine.
And what's happening though, and we're going to get into this later about social media censoring from the big social media giants, but when we have board certified physicians saying, hey, wait a minute, we're using this, our patients are surviving, our patients are alive, they're not on ventilators, we're seeing significant success stories with our own patients, and then for places like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all these different social media platforms to deliberately censor these people, these good physicians, to me is unconscionable. But again, it underscores the politics of the pandemic. Now, we are holding House subcommittee hearings on COVID-19. Dr. Fauci, other medical professionals are going to be speaking. My question is, where are these doctors that I'm talking about that have been seeing significant successes with the use of hydroxychloroquine? Why aren't these people being called before the Senate subcommittee?
Well, and that is the question and the politicization. Okay, Dr. Fauci is definitely a Democrat. He's a very liberal guy. But why do the American people not get all sides of this argument? Why do they not have this group of doctors who numerous doctors have said that this works, and why are they not there representing that? Why are they not there being heard on behalf of the American people and let the doctors decide what the prescribed treatment would be? Where I have heard that doctors are actually getting called on their use of hydroxychloroquine and asked what they're prescribing it for because they are not allowed to prescribe it for COVID. This is wrong. Anything that could possibly work should be allowed to be prescribed.
If you have a pharmaceutical that does not harm the patient, right, and the doctors know, and the research consistently shows it does not hurt the patient. And it helps the patient, and the government needs to stay out of that doctor-patient relationship. As much as insurance companies need to stay out of that doctor-patient relationship, we cannot have a nanny government interfering with board-certified physicians in the care and treatment of their patients, especially patients that have COVID-19 and may becoming seriously impaired medically because of it. Leave the doctors alone.
Well, at the beginning of the whole COVID, we didn't personally know anybody that had it. And now we do know people that have had it and that do have it. And it's no joke. They're quite sick. They're in the hospital and cannot receive hydroxychloroquine. And this is so frustrating because at the point of the early stages of the COVID or even to the mid stages, if you give that, there are dramatic results to the benefit of the patient. But if you wait till the end, it's too late, and it's too late for those people. And I there's got to be an outcry from Americans for our politicians allowing us to die over this. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is completely against this hydroxychloroquine, and she needs to stay out of my health care, and she needs to be quiet about it and stop really cheating the American people of a antidote for this particular disease.
Well, I think one of the reasons that the American public is somewhat silent about this is because it's so confusing to them.
It's confusing, and that's their point, Ron.
Right, and exactly, and that's what I want to talk about for a second. Because, I don't care how simply you break this down. To me, the simplest breakdown is masks. Should we wear masks? Should we not wear masks, right? Should we wear masks? Are masks good for you? Are masks not good for you? You and I wear masks, right? But we also have common sense, so we don't wear like masks like we see people when we are driving on the street and we actually see masks being worn by drivers and passengers in their own vehicles. That's borders on stupidity and ignorance. However, there's as much good information as there is on that we should wear masks, there's just as much information out there that masks don't do a damn thing. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and people ultimately have to make up their own decisions.
And that's just it. Okay. People have to make their own decisions. So if I get COVID, I want hydroxychloroquine. I want it to be available to me. Now, talk about politicizing COVID. This is so angering. In Pennsylvania, they are politicizing people and choosing who gets to live and die by who gets remdesivir for COVID. And how did they do that? They are doing it by giving it to the lowest income people in order to sort of level the playing field, because they didn't get to have the same health care as the high income people throughout their life. And so they have decided, and admittedly so, okay, I'm not making this up, you can look it up, that they are deciding to give it to the lower income people in lieu of the middle class to higher income people. So those people get to die while the lower income people get to live. And instead of doing this in a medical fashion, of giving it to who needs it the most, that is what they're doing. And that is absolutely, nobody has the right to play God like that.
Well, you know, it's the surprising thing was with one of our very close friends, who's a vet, and one of the strongest guys I've ever met in my life, right? I mean, this guy works out all the time. He contracts COVID-19. He goes to the Veterans Administration Hospital to get treatment, right? Because he's in bad shape. And they won't give them hydroxychloroquine. They won't give them
anything,
right? And they say, well, you're just going to have to go home and self-isolate. Well, he's from California. He comes out to Texas. He contracts COVID here in Texas. And how the hell is he supposed to get back home when he's getting worse? Well, what did they have to do? They flew out here, so they had to rent a car and then get back to California, but it took him three times longer to get back to California because he was sick and he had to stay, you know, in a hotel and, I mean, be on fluids. I mean, it was a terrible story, and that's our Veterans Administration playing politics.
Well, it is, but it's not just the Veterans Administration. It is the whole, just the entire politics of this. And we need to treat people fairly, because this has been mismanaged, not by President Trump, because President Trump is the leader of the country. He's not the guy down in the trenches. This is being politicized by the people above the hospitals.
At the administration level.
Yeah, that are telling them that they cannot do this and cannot do that, where people should have the right to have the medication that of their and their doctor's choice and save their lives. We are killing people in order to keep this country in chaos. I absolutely believe that at this point. And the other thing that we're doing with keeping this country in chaos is we are keeping the economy in chaos. So we have had the largest GDP drop in history of 32.9% in the last quarter. And what that's doing, the Democrats hope, is to keep the country in this economic strife so that President Trump doesn't get reelected, because what's his strongest thing? The economy. They don't want him to have that to run on. And so they're willing to let your business, my business, millions of people's businesses go down and go out and never recover in order to get Joe Biden elected. That is so angering and so wrong, so unfair to the American people. We need to say something.
Well, I'll say something. I'll get you a couple of coffee, okay?
Because a couple of coffee.
A couple of coffees, all right? Because okay. You need more stimulant, I can tell. Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement, and the war on police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
As we say, let the silent voices be heard. Shadow banning, editing, censorship, blocking, and adherence to political correctness are seen as serious threats to our God-given right to free speech. Suppressing free speech, the very cornerstone of our society, is not in the best interest of our listeners, readers, and those who provide our content. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, all right, here's your coffee, and I can see you're already spun up, so I don't know why I brought you more stimulant.
Yeah, you should have given me decaf, huh? Anyway, we're talking about the economy, and in the last March, since March, okay, to now, there have been 54 million claims for unemployment. I mean, this is just unprecedented. And there's no reason why we can't get back to some semblance of work in this country so that people can save their livings, because it will take forever to recover. And, you know, I don't know if I've said this before, but if so, I'll say it again. When is COVID going to stop? Probably the day after the election, you know, because it's being just spun out of control by the media and by people that want this to be a chaotic time until the election to get Joe Biden elected.
Boy, you raised an interesting theory, and that is, what would happen, right? Rhetorical question. What would happen if the day after election, all of this COVID died down? You know what I mean? All of the rhetoric about COVID-19 died down. You know, right after Trump is taken out of office and the Democrats come in, and all of a sudden we're all better, everything starts to get rosier, the media starts painting everything rosier. I think that would be a very interesting theory. I don't want that to come to play. I want Trump to be reelected. I want his administration, and I want our economy to raise up again. But it's just an interesting theory, you know, that you posed here.
Well, and there's so much to do with this politicization of the coronavirus, and things like, let's just take sports. Okay.
Oh, so, I've got something I want to talk about regarding sports, but let's start it.
So in sports, you know, people started taking a knee, and, you know, people objected to that. Like us, we objected to that. And now with COVID, of course, all of the sports were put off, right? So we didn't have the professional sports. We didn't have the football. We didn't have the basketball. Or we had very abbreviated seasons of such things. Well, now they're going ahead and putting social justice messages on their jerseys. And what we found, I think, during the missing sports is, guess what? America got along without it, right?
Yeah, they did. Well, you know, it's interesting that you're mentioning how COVID has affected sports. But sports, major sports, the major sports franchises, you know, the professional football, you know, the NFL, the Major League Baseball, the
NBA,
NBA, even the National Hockey League, the NHL, right, have all been affected by COVID-19. But actually, Linda, and you mentioned the one thing about the politicization of sports. So that has really been affecting major league sports even before COVID. So the things that are affecting, well, first of all, let's because you and I are sports fans, and it's even you more of a sports fan than me, okay? Because when we first met, I mean, you had tickets to the Angels, you had tickets to the Ducks. I mean, you were, you know, I said, yeah, I'm going to marry this gal. Well, this gal's a sports fan. But what's happening you know, over the last couple of years, 3-4 years, is that the attendance in the four major sports has really been going down, and some of it in double digits. And that's because primarily before all of this politicization, before the Colin Kaepernick's and the taking the knees and stuff, the ticket prices are through the freaking roof. Okay, so you go, let's just take us going to a Ducks game, right? You're spending over $100 just for a ticket. Let's just talk about us for a minute, because I think other people are just like us. But anyway, basically, and we've got half a season tickets, right? And we're spending over $100 per person to get into the game. But then we've got to eat something. And so by time and a hot dog is like, I don't know, $12, and a beer is like $12.
Parking's $20.
You're spending, what do you think? Per game?
At least $300.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Which is why we no longer have Ducks tickets. but for me, the catch was, when they started politicizing football, that was it. I have never watched a football game again. Never.
Oh, no, me too. I'm with you.
Not since Kaepernick took a knee, right, have I watched a football game. And I think a lot of people feel the same. But when you add, Ron, when you add the COVID to this, and we have not had our sports, right?
Yep.
People have survived. So the question to me is, after the COVID, are people going to be willing to go back and pay that kind of money to watch social justice messages and their political views on their jerseys and helmets? Not me.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because I've been doing a little bit of research on sports, because sports, it's not my wheelhouse. And so I've got to do some research. And what I found, just succinctly, without throwing statistics and boring stuff out like that, the attendance obviously has been down. The physical attendance have been down. And what I found really surprising, even though the rhetoric from the franchise is that, oh, we really care about our people, and, you know, we want people to attend these sporting venues, and of course they've got these billion-dollar stadiums that they've been building, okay, is that they really don't care all that much. And the reason that I found out that they don't care that much is because they have seriously lucrative contracts with television networks to televise, you know, the sporting games. So they're saying, hey, it's like a win-win for us, because if we don't get them into the venue physically, they're addicted to the sport, so they're going to turn on the boob tube and they're going to watch us on either regular networks or pay-per-view, you know, and they all have that, where you can pay for those sports venues and get it. But now that they've increasingly, as you say, Linda, politicized the sports, and now there are social justice messages on the jerseys, on the stuff, on the helmets they wear. There's even been talk about doing a black national anthem, whatever the hell that means, in some of the sporting venues before they even do, the American, you know, the Star Spangled Banner, people taking knees during the Star Spangled Banner, as you said. I'll tell you what, I'm just like you. I don't need that. And the reason that I don't need that, the reason that I watch professional sports or used to, is because it's an escape from everything that you and I have been talking about during this coffee conversation. I want an escape, okay? My work is hard enough, it's stressful enough with all the business things and everything that I've got to deal with, just like you. When I come home and it's a sports night before all of this crap happened, I want to have a beer, I want to have my own hot dog, I want to microwave up a hot dog, and I want to watch baseball, or I want to watch hockey.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah,
and I can't do it.
Even in baseball, they're all taking a knee, so I won't watch it anymore.
No.
And I don't think that I'm a lone voice in America about that. Nobody wants to see that. I am insulted at their points of view and at their politicizing sports. So I'm over it, and I'll do something else. And guess what? Americans have found that during this pandemic, that they probably don't need that. Now there's a lot of people who really miss it, and okay, hey, turn on bull riding. They don't do any kind of taking a knee in bull riding at all, and it's a great American pastime sport.
And so what I started, and that's thanks for the plug, because we happen to give bulls to bull riding, okay, and compete with our own bulls. But, and that's a great point. So what did I do? Okay, so I said, all right, and I started this with football. Okay, NFL, you're gone. I'm boycotting the NFL just like you since Kaepernick took a knee. And I watched the response. It yes. wasn't just that Kaepernick was taking a knee. I said to myself, how's the franchise? How's, you know, how's Major League, you know, football and Major League Baseball going to handle these fake social justice warriors? Are they going to kick them off the team? Are they going to suspend them? Or are they going to ratify the behavior, enable them, and we're going to see more of this? What do you think they did? Well, they enabled it. They ratified it. So I said, hey, look, I'm done with you. And so I'm going to switch over to college sports, which to me, in many occasions, is far more exciting, college sports. What do you think they're doing now to college sports? They're allowing them to write social justice, you know, messages on their uniforms, and they're allowing college sports to take a knee. Hey, wait a minute. I'm funding you with my state taxes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah,
that's I'm not a good putting
point.
Up with that. So guess what? Whenever I see college sports going in the direction of major, you know, professional franchise sports, I'm done with that too. And so that's just a horrible thing to happen to the American public. Now, you and I were lucky enough to live in a beautiful environment. We got a ranch, and we can, even though there's COVID and everything, we got all sorts of stuff we can do. But we're not the average Americans either, okay? We're not the people living in high-density housing that, you know, can't go outside, that can't go to a bar, that can't go to a restaurant, that can't do those things. Imagine how frustrating it is for those people to have problems with their businesses if they're business owners. If they're not, and they're workers, to be out of a job, right? To have to homeschool kids or have their kids home. Look at all the pressures that those people are experiencing, and they can't escape through sports anymore, because sports has just become a total political statement. Okay?
Yes. Well, and let's take another one. Another one is the movie industry. The actors and actresses who are just think that they're above all of us, that are well paid, that are insulated. You know, their industry has taken a huge hit during COVID because they can't film a lot of things, and they actually have to go to China, who gave us this virus, to get their blessing on their work anymore. People are not going to put up with having more and more and more of these, you know, cartoon, comic book type character movies, and you know that industry has taken a fall. Their revenues have gone down with the advent of Netflix and all of the different ways that you can get movies. So you know, all these people who have professed to be the be all and end all of American society and give us their opinions on the Oscar shows and the Emmy shows and all that, we didn't want to hear it. Guess what? They're hurting now.
Well, you know, the it's interesting that you mentioned that. So the Emmys and the Oscars have had their lowest viewer participation in the history of both of those entertainment venues. The other thing is that have you noticed that the quality of the movies? I mean, every once in a while there's a good movie.
Oh, they've gone down terribly.
Yeah, and they're ripping off stuff from yesteryear. You know, they're redoing this movie or redoing that movie. Well, the reason that they're redoing those movies is because the screenwriters don't have any new ideas. They don't have any fresh ideas. And when you take that, the fact that they're rarely is a really good movie that I want to go see, then the actors and actresses that have become so political, I don't know about you, Lynn, but I'm crossing off my list one by one by one, you know, and getting rid of them. Because the other thing that the movie industry is doing, and this is this new movie industry, is that their counterculture within that movie industry are canceling people like John Wayne. Okay, completely canceling John Wayne. So
oh, I know, and you know, just just wonderful American people like that, because Black Lives Matter says that they think this or that, or they said this or that.
50 years ago, yeah. 60 years ago.
Yeah, I'm over that as well. Well, I was over that when they were talking about politics and criticizing the president at all their award ceremonies. Again, I don't want to know what they think. I just want to be entertained.
And, you know, and that's a great comment to end this part of the conversation if we wanted to. But, you know, I'm going to revive it for a second. And they are also canceling some of the older classic movies that are about Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Right? Canceling that out. Some of the best acting of that genre, of that movie antebellum genre that we've had. And they say, well, it's a racist movie. Wait a minute. You have to go back and you have to look at the times, and you really have to spend time looking at the movie, because racism is discussed in the movie. The larger looming, I think, point of the movie is it is the North versus the South, and the North is trying to end racism, and it's trying to, you know, slavery, and it's trying to do all of these things. But you have to, when you look at a movie, you've got to parse it out. What is the acting like? What is the quality of the acting? What does the set design look like? What do the costumes look like? What's the movie? What is the message of the movie? You got to parse out all those different things, and that's what I enjoy. Can I escape in the movie?
So they can cancel out Gone with the Wind, yet they have a movie out now about people killing Trump supporters in a ranch or a place where...
Oh, a bow and arrow hunting, killing, and that's okay.
And that's okay. Right. So this is ridiculous. I want to talk, after I get you coffee, about one more thing that I think is going to dramatically change after COVID.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, so my point is about what I was talking about with the movies and the sports and after COVID. I don't know that these things are going to come back the same way that they were before COVID. I think that people have realized that they don't need them the same way, or that things have changed. So I think the new normal is also going to affect our education. At least I truly hope it does. But, you know, we've talked before about the people that are tearing down all of our statues, all of our history in this country, the people that are rioting in places, the people that are protesting, the people that are out night after night after night. Who are they? A lot of them are our college students who have paid $70,000 a year for an education that's pretty worthless in the way that we're educating, with these lightweight classes and the politically correct agendas and the revisionist history and all of the things that we object to in schools, that have these students come out and be really nothing that we need in America and be sort of socialist Marxist type mentalities.
You took the words right out of my mouth. They've been indoctrinated into a Marxist, you know, philosophy and ideology. And, you know, we've talked about this before, where you have a kid from a very nice home that's had great parenting, and then they send him away to the university or college, and then in September, and they come back, you know, for Christmas vacation, and all of a sudden they're spouting all this Marxist rhetoric. So please, you can't tell me, people out there, that these kids are not, they don't get rapidly indoctrinated, because everybody around them is involved in the cancel culture. And if they use the, you know, if they start spouting anything that is pro-Christianity, is pro-American, is pro, you know, good parenting, the, you know, the results.
Capitalism.
Oh my God, they're immediately canceled. It's hate speech, it's offensive, and the other people are running to a safe space.
Well, exactly. So I think that what, hopefully, parents have seen that they're spending all of this money on schools, and you know, even in our public education system with the teachers unions and all of the monies that are there, it's just such a big conglomeration of people spending money but not giving good education. I'm hoping that a lot of parents have seen that, and that they're seeing that now they are getting their kids educated either at home or in small pods of kids or in alternate ways online. And perhaps parents will pay attention to getting us back to our American learning, our proper history, our proper civics, teaching our kids what they really need to know. Yes, they want their kids socialized at school, and quite honestly, a lot of parents want their kids babysat at school. But we need to start looking at this time, since things have changed, at the possibilities of not paying $70,000 a year to go to college to get nothing, and maybe focusing more on things like the trades and things that will really help people make a living down the road, and realize that we've been in the wrong direction on education.
Well, you know, I'd like to make a couple of comments. You know, I don't think every parent out there is like you and me, where we're actively engaged with our kids that are all grown now and successfully employed. You know, you've got, you know, one would hope that parents that have their kid at a college or a university, and they're putting out a lot of money, and maybe they've got, you know, just a liberal arts degree program or something like that. And especially in one of these colleges or universities that are extremely liberal, and the kids are spouting all this Marxist rhetoric, I would hope that the parents that are paying the freight on these kids would pull these kids in and have a serious intervention conversation with them and say, hey, look, what are you really learning? What am I paying for, right? What are you learning? Okay, what's your end goal? What's the game here? And if the kid says, well, you know, I don't really know, or I'm just trying to find myself or something. You know, if I was that parent, especially in these stressful economic times, I'm saying, well, you know what? I'm pulling you. Or you can pay for yourself to go to college, because I'm not going to economically support this. You know, and I'm hoping that's going to take place. You know, I'm going to leave maybe part of this conversation with just some personal insight. You know me. I started out before I was in law enforcement. I was a high school teacher, and I taught history, and I coached track and field, and I just loved it. And then later, you know, I became a, you know, college and then a university professor. And my whole adult life, I've had something to do with teaching, and I did it to give back. I did it because I think I have a skill set that I want to give back to these young kids. But you know what? I don't do that anymore, as you know, Linda. I stopped teaching as a professor about 4 years ago. And the reason that I did that was actually because my business was doing so well, I just didn't have time for teaching. But I would never go back to the classroom again. And why? Because I don't want to put up with the type of students that are going to be in that classroom. And I
and
don't
the administrators you didn't care for either.
Exactly. And that's where I saw the cancel culture actually starting, was with administrators and unions that started to interfere with our ability to teach. And of course, I was an administrator, college administrator by then. But I didn't like my colleagues, and I didn't like the ratification of bad behavior that we were seeing in the classrooms.
Well, stop right there, because that is such an interesting statement that you make about ratification of bad behavior. And that is the entire problem in our country at this moment, is that there is a ratification of bad behavior in all of these cities, cities, in all of these places, and for what purpose? For the purpose of the election, period. That's what the purpose is. When I see these people, oh my gosh, you have a lot of black people in this country educated in both in government and in private businesses that are Trump supporters. Yet you have MSNBC hosts asking them if they're getting paid Trump.
I saw that. I mean, that was disgraceful.
It's disgraceful. And everything that is being done and everything that you just said about ratifying bad behavior in the schools, but it's ratifying, they're ratifying it throughout the country in pursuit of a Biden win. And we are all paying for it. We're paying for it in so many ways. We're paying for it with our businesses. We're paying for it with our lives. We're paying for it with additional COVID around the country from the protesters. And we are paying for it in our tax money to fix all of these problems. And we are paying for it with our very safety in defunding the police.
You know what? I liked your transition actually away from education, but to even a larger point. And the larger point is the ratification of the bad behavior, but it's systemic. Let's use that word, okay?
That word.
I know, I'm going to use it this time, okay? But it's systemic, which means it is affecting every component of our societal life. So you're talking about the news media, right? We already talked about education, right? The ratification of bad behavior. And then we transitioned to the news media, right? You're talking about MSNBC. And then we talk about the politicians ratifying the bad behavior of all the protesters and the violence and the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa and the complete destruction of their cities and the components of the infrastructure of their cities, such as small businesses, such as governmental offices, such as federal courthouses, such as downtown businesses, that are their parks, their statues, their history, their culture, which has been turned upside down.
And almost 100% in Democrat-run cities.
Oh, absolutely.
So what is their point? Their point is to keep the chaos going and to have Biden elected, to make Trump look bad. But they are willing, Ron, these people that were elected are willing to sacrifice all Americans, the people in their own cities and counties, their businesses, their livelihoods, their food on the table.
Their lives.
Their lives for their political agenda. And I'm so angry about that, and that is what has been bothering me all day, is that I finally, you know, it's something you don't want to admit, right? You don't want to admit it to yourself because it's horrific, but it's true.
You know, and I could go back into history again, and I could certainly do some, you know, comparisons and contrasting with Italian fascism at the time under Benito Mussolini, and I can talk about National Socialism under Adolf Hitler in the 30s, moving to the 40s. But the point that I'm hearing from you is that you're so surprised, as am I, how quickly this is, you know, snowballing and taking over these cities. And of course, the cities are predominantly run by socialist Democrats. And that's what happened in Nazi Germany and in fascist Italy during the late 20s, early 30s, moving into the 40s, where then we, you know, which precipitated, you know, World War II. And that's so interesting. And so what I want to do is transition into the whole issue is about the silent majority. And that's what I want to talk about for a second. So, because with the issue of the silent majority, I also want to talk about, you know, mail-in voting and voter fraud. But the question that I have, and a lot of Americans have that are common sense conservatives, is what's going on with Americans, and why aren't they speaking out? Why aren't they protesting? You know, why aren't they surrounding governor's mansions? Why aren't they surrounding legislative buildings, you know, when they're in session? Why aren't they cancel culturing liberal and Marxist politicians? why aren't they recalling these people, these mayors of these cities, like, you know, Seattle and like Portland and Washington, D.C. and Detroit and Milwaukee and, you know, Los Angeles and, you know, all these people, these places that we've been talking about? What do you think is going on with the silent majority?
I think that they are absolutely intimidating. You know who I think about when you ask that question is the man that you knew that ran for government in Portland.
No, it was Seattle. He ran for the city council in Seattle.
So he ran for city council. He was conservative. He wanted this changed. He was against everything we're seeing now in Seattle, and his life was threatened. His family's life was threatened. He got out of the race because he couldn't physically, emotionally, or risk-wise, risk his entire family and their lives over the election. And that is why people are silent. I had a guy just the other day, and I didn't even tell you about this, that said something on Facebook, and I responded to him. I told him he didn't know what he was talking about. This guy, you know, immediately went to all my social media and started looking me up because I can see who looks me up. And, you know, it's a little bit unnerving. So
welcome to my world.
Yeah, I think that that's why people don't do it. And you know, we are a perfect example. So we are common sense conservatives. We don't go out and protest. We don't go out and stand at buildings. I don't have time for that. Guess what? I'm working. I'm trying to make a living. I'm trying to do right by my family. I'm trying to do right by my community.
But you know,
that's
why. But you know, Linda, but the reason that you and I don't go out and physically protest is not because we couldn't if provided an opportunity in a proper venue, but we use other ways. Okay, so, you know, our resistance movement as common sense conservatives is something like what we're doing right now on Talking While Married on America Out Loud.
Or writing articles.
So we are having, you know, I mean, I don't like really to use the word, but I'll bring it in. I mean, I think the most appropriate word or term for us is that we're social media influencers ourselves. And so this is how we resist. This is how we resist what the Marxists do, what the leftists do, what the mainstream liberal mainstream media does. And we put out our own message, but different from their message, our message is you and I are having a conversation and people that are friends and followers are flies on the wall and they're listening to us as we talk and they're saying, yeah, I feel the same way. So the question is, will the silent majority that agrees with people like us and agree, meaning this country is going down to hell, they're fighting our president, there's a resistance movement against our presidents, against our form of government,
and for socialism and Marxism,
will they become vocal with their vote? What do you think?
Well, I think that they will. However, here's what really worries me. What really worries me is that so many people, and we talk to them all over, and we've talked to them in all areas of the country, even areas of the world. People, they pay attention to the media, they don't know what to believe, they tune out, and therefore, when they tune out, they are completely uninformed, and they go with what they hear or what the media tells them. That is the media's hope. That is these politicians' hope. If Nancy Pelosi says the garbage that she spews enough times, then people will believe it. That is her philosophy. And her, let's just say it, her own philosophy by her own words.
Oh, and I've heard her. I heard her speech.
Is that she will put out a false narrative. The news will pick it up because Nancy Pelosi says it. Then Nancy Pelosi will re-say it and say, well, according to the Washington Post, which is the false narrative that she put out. And that is how these lies start. This is Wag the Dog. If you've never seen the movie, watch it. This is that they are putting out false narratives. The media is repeating it. Then they repeat it. And then the public believes it. We need to be smarter than this.
Well, you know, and it's exacerbated by their co-conspirators in major tech social media.
Absolutely.
So, you know, Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, and there was just a Senate subcommittee or a congressional subcommittee just the other day, and they brought in, you know, the major players. It was done video streaming. So when I say that, you know, they're talking to the major stakeholders, the CEOs of Apple and Google, Facebook and Amazon. And they are hitting them up. And this was interesting, because what was unique about the Senate subcommittee, and they're not done with these guys yet, is that this is one of the first times that you see Republicans and Democrats banding together, because they're all pissed off about these guys. Right? They're all pissed off about what Apple is doing and what Google is doing and Facebook and Amazon. So they're talking to Zuckerberg. They're talking to Jeff Bezos, the Indian guy for Google. And they're hitting him up and they're saying, wait a minute, you are censuring First Amendment issues. We're not talking about hate speech. Okay, we're not talking about sites and posts where people are ISIS supporters and they're saying, yeah, you need to, you know, car bomb and do IEDs, and you're not talking about radicalization to ISIS or the Nazi party or, you know, the KKK. You're talking about the censoring of people that are expressing their First Amendment rights, and they have a comment, and they should be allowed to make that comment, and people can comment back and forth, and that's what discourse is, that's what democracy is, and you are stifling that
they're
and censoring
stifling
that.
Stifling conservative speech, and they're stifling these doctors and nurses about the COVID cures and the COVID helps, and they are flagging President Trump on Twitter, yet they are allowing the Khomeini in Iran to spew his hatred. I mean, they are censoring all of us, and this is wrong, and they don't admit it, but it is going to influence the election. That is my concern, is that people are not getting the full stories.
And that's why I brought it up. Okay, because even I have, you know, I've been a Facebook, what they call a Facebook inmate.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
I've been in Facebook jail. A lot of my friends have been in Facebook jail. And the stuff that I've been in Facebook jail before, and I think it was just one time, was over something completely innocuous. And so picture, and you know, they put, oh, it's an algorithm. All BS.
Yeah,
it's not
BS.
An algorithm. Yeah. There's some guy in a cubicle, and he doesn't like what I have to say or what I'm reposting, and so he censors me, and you can never get accountability. And that's what the Congress people were pissed off about. There's no accountability.
That's what they did to your Black Lives Matter book.
Oh my God.
Is they took it off of Amazon because Amazon supports Black Lives Matter. And I will just say in a couple of words that people do not understand what Black Lives Matter is. They think it just is something that police shouldn't be shooting black people. That is not what it is at all.
That's correct. And you know what? Before we take a breather for the evening, I just want to encourage people to get onto my website at dronronmartinelli.com and order a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, which is into its incredible seventh printing. So please take time, go on to dronronmartinelli.com and pick up a copy of that book. It will blow you away. 99.5% five-star ratings on this book. It's not an opinion piece. It's completely factual. It will blow you away.
And if you want to hear more of Dr. Ron and Linda or any of the wonderful shows that are on America Out Loud or all of the articles on America Out Loud, take a look at AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a wealth of information that you won't get in the mainstream media.
You're ready to call it?
I'm ready.